To the future viability of Australian voices and content on our screens and devices, it's always an issue, I realise, but likely to receive even more attention than usual due to an upcoming ACCC inquiry. It'll examine the dominance of big tech platforms like Google and Facebook and how they've totally altered traditional media's advertising revenue. Former Senator Nick Xenophon secured this inquiry, responding to concerns over the hollowing out of quality journalism that's traditionally been cross-funded by advertising. Now, some observers see this as a watershed battle between the different media, though the question surely becomes, will the inquiry end up describing the problems better so we all understand, but struggle with any solutions? Now, there's also a government review of the production of Australian and children's content, which has been disrupted by new media. Amidst competing views and interests, some want to water down or abolish the local Australian content quotas that apply to broadcasters like the ABC and other networks in order to compete with streaming services like Netflix or Stan, which are exempt from the quotas. Thorny questions that Kingston Anderson and Stuart Cunningham will join me to wrestle with. Kingston, CEO of the Directors Guild, and Stuart Cunningham is Distinguished Professor of Media and Communications at the Queensland University of Technology. Gentlemen, welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Hello, Geraldine.
Now, Kingston, could we start with the content review, the Australian and Children's Screen Content Review? What exactly is being looked at?
Well, basically, it's looking at the content quotas for television. That's the focus, and specifically children's. But we also believe that it will have an impact on all the quotas. Listeners may know that there's a quota that each of the commercial networks need to provide a certain amount of Australian content in children's drama and documentary. And this was brought in the late 60s, early 70s, has been incredibly successful to drive, you know, Australian content on our television screens. And the broadcasters are pushing for it to be abolished. Again, they're looking for a level...
All of them.
Well, all the traditional broadcasters. And, of course, Foxtel is part of that as well. They have a different system where they 10% of their spend has to be spent on Australian content. So this guarantees Australian content on our television screens. But obviously the challenge from, as you mentioned, Netflix and Stan, and of course coming into the market soon will be Amazon, CBS, Apple, there's probably about three others more that I don't know, which is changing the landscape. Aren't governed by any of this. They don't have any requirements to produce Australian content. And I think the warning, one of the warning bells that was signed is when CBS basically bought Channel 10. That's just been approved now by the courts. And a journalist in the Sydney Morning Herald said, well, you don't need to worry. CBS won't just replay NCIS over and over because we have Australian content quotas and they'll have to play Australian content. Well, that's under threat.
Do you have any sympathy with the traditional operators who, you know, the great phrase is their lunch is being eaten by these incomers? And in fact, Mitch Fifield, the minister, made a big remark in a speech to the Australian Content Group that there's just this massive turning away from linear viewing. YouTube is one example, and it may well never come back. So are these regulations valid?
Yeah, I think you've got to look at the whole then. And I agree with some of the things that the networks say. The other players need to be brought into the fold. I think if you are taking out many hundreds of millions of dollars out of this country, not paying tax and have no obligations, I think that's a problem. I think the Australian Industry Group, which is all the guilds, believe we should follow the European model, which is they put a 30% content quota on Netflix in Europe. And in Canada, they've set up a $400 million content fund, Netflix, for Canadian content. So other countries in the world and jurisdictions are going, okay, that's fine. You can work in our and, you know, take money out of our country, but you have to have obligations to our local content. So we're not coming up with anything new. So I think that has to happen. Yes, I think we need to review them. We're not putting our heads in the sand. Times have changed. But I think everyone who's making money, and they're all making money out of Australian taxpayers, have an obligation to provide content to Australian taxpayers that reflects who they are.
Stuart Cunningham, how do you hear that?
Yes, I agree with Kingston. The situation is complex when you think about the tax situation, the independent journalism situation, and the Australian content situation. They're all interrelated. And Australia has had and is having a range of inquiries into each of these interrelated issues. Frankly, for policymakers, tax is probably the most important. And you may have noticed that the ATO, the Australian Taxation Office, has been putting out mass advertising lately that has been reporting on the fact that they have been relatively successful in getting the platforms, the big platforms, Google, Facebook, Apple, to pay more tax. Google, it is reported that Google has doubled their tax paid on Australian earnings in the last few years, for example. So the ATO is making some progress. There has been some progress around independent journalism with the, again, then-Senator Xenophon, $60 million independent journalism fund. That will help to keep some regional newspapers alive and hopefully some innovation in Australian independent journalism. Now we turn to content. And the content question is affected by both of these. And yes, progress, I think, can be made. Yes, of course, as Kingston says, players who take earnings out of Australia should pay their way. The problem is that demographics and technology are shifting the ground under which the regulations operate. There's what has been called a lost generation of viewers, people from 14 to 24, the lost generation who may never go back to linear broadcast. What will the broadcasters do about that? They have innovation challenges that they need to face. And of course, they're looking for, you know, low-hanging fruit such as deregulation to deal with it. But there also needs to be, in my mind, and that's why I submitted with Ian McGill from Allens to the Australian and Children's Content Review, a proposal to how to grow the pie, for Australian content. We believe that a funds management approach, whereby a fund can be developed out of and including Screen Australia's content, resources for content, as well as perhaps the ABC, but also new funds that would be under funds management. Let's bring some of the expert funds managers into this country, right, into screen culture.
But that's the raising of the money. It could be made. Beautiful stuff could be made. I suppose the argument is, yes, it should stand on its own merit and be able to argue its case, but is there an argument for some mandated, it has to be shown somewhere, or otherwise it could just go into the wind?
Could I just say, we had a scheme back in the 80s called 10BA, and Stuart will know about this, and that was a tax incentive, 150% tax rebate. And in 3 years when that was operating, we massively produced a massive number of films, but there was no requirement to screen them. And so what happened, because it was such a great tax rebate, there was a massive number of investors jumped into this screen industry, putting money into a lot of crap. We did a lot of great stuff. You know, Gallipoli, amazing films came through because they're good filmmakers. They took the opportunity and, you know, George Miller, people like that took that opportunity. But a lot of rubbish was made and it was dumped because of that. So I think, yes, a content fund's a great idea, but are there requirements to show Australian content? That's the key, on whatever platform. And I agree. I mean, eventually one would say in 10, 15 years, there won't be any terrestrial television. It may all be streamed in some form. I can never predict this stuff, but it could happen. But how do we ensure that we see Australian content? Yes, a fund's a great idea, and these are the things we're grappling with, I think.
Well, Stuart, I think we sort of slightly stopped you before you finished your thesis.
Well, yes, and I think this is where we're getting into some of the real meat of the debate, because the 30% quota that Kingston has mentioned in the EU and the $400 million content fund in Canada, neither of these guarantee that people will watch the content.
No, but so, at least there's a chance, I suppose, it's there, isn't it?
Well, of course. And I'm don't get me wrong. I'm not arguing that we should deregulate the Australian content quotas. I think that we should be looking at the fact that over time those content quotas are becoming and will become less effective because fewer people will be watching the content that is regulated.
See, you argue, don't you? It's interesting, Stuart, that YouTube is a very interesting case study. Google is arguing in its submission that a whole new generation of Australian content creators are using this platform to make sort of DIY craft videos or people filming crazy experiments. And they say, well, this is Australian content. and it's happening, in the absence of regulation.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people sitting in their bedrooms writing novels, but they don't necessarily become novelists. I think we're talking about the commercial media, the sort of stuff that we make, like The Secret River. I mean, that's not going to be made by some guy in his bedroom with an iPhone, you know? I mean, that content's great, and I think we're not denying that. In fact, some years ago there was a review by the Labor government, and Stuart will know about this, looking at this issue, and there was a structure suggested where we only deal with commercial, and anything below a certain level is, free-for-all. Don't worry about it. I mean, make as many cat videos as you like, and then if you get to a commercial level, you should be contributing somehow as well. So there's a few other options that could be looked at.
Geraldine and Kingston, the fact is that there are 65 people in Australia, YouTubers, who have a million or more subscribers. Some of these people are earning six-figure sums. We are already in the field of commercial viability for online content of the sort that we've just described. 90% of the content that is produced on YouTube by Australians is consumed elsewhere in the world. It is already an export phenomenon.
Yes, it's an extraordinary story, that fact. I was reading that in the research. I mean, we just had one texter just said, and this is how I suspect this is being heard, we need to move fast to protect our culture with Netflix and Amazon coming in. So, I mean, do you see it, Stuart, as, that's a very emotive way of putting it, that we're protecting our culture. Do you see it like that?
Well, our culture will go on being produced. It's a question of who will view it, who will make it. So our culture, there's no question that Australian content quota culture and screen culture will go on, but who will watch it and who will make it? There are changes going on. I think that Google is, for example, through YouTube, making a huge contribution to innovative Australian content that people are watching, not only here, but in the rest of the world. I think that we've got to look very closely at how Google makes that contribution and how it can be encouraged to make an even greater contribution. But at the same time, we have to, if you like, protect the existing system because it is still a system that delivers great cultural benefit to Australian viewers.
See, Kingston, do you know whether those regulations in Europe that you described, I don't know how old they are, like have they, do you know whether they're working? Are people watching it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's having access to watch it. I mean, that's the change here is basic. Yes, we had four channels or five channels or whatever. That was all there was. So you had no choice. Now you have choice. Yes, people are watching Australian programs when they get the opportunity. And in fact, we're exporting them. I mean, the classic example is No Activity, which is now screening in the US, the American version. So that's a great opportunity to export the, I agree with Stuart on that. Because they're putting it on, because we're making it here. And I take someone said to me, oh, well, we got rid of the car industry. We don't need to support the film industry. I said, well, I can buy a car anywhere in the world. I can't buy an Australian story anywhere in the world. I can only buy it here. And the cultural argument is vital because unless we have our own stories on our own screens or on the screens that we are watching and access to them, you can't force people to watch anything, but you actually have them there so they've got the choice.
See, it's the aggregators, isn't it? That's what we're learning. We're all sort of tooling ourselves up now. We're learning that it seems to be the sort of, at the time, the aggregators, the Googles, the Amazons and so on are coming through. Are you talking to them? I mean, have you established, say, for your creative people whom you represent, any real dialogue with these new big... Is it a different culture altogether?
Yeah, I mean, my members are working with them. We've just seen the first Netflix fully commissioned program, Australian program, being made. But when you look at the stuff that Netflix is investing in, it's quite interesting. They have they seem to invest in science fiction and stories that have an international appeal. So they're clearly looking at stories that they think will travel as well. Whether they do or not is another question. But, for example, Glitch is a good example, and they've invested in the new Pine Gap series that's being made. So I think it tells you a bit about what they're game plan is as well. They're not necessarily going to invest in a secret river because if they're on their own, because they've got a different view.
So it's a sort of globalist approach, which of course we could, those YouTube figures suggest we could do well in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, no one's discounting those YouTube figures. That's the best thing that could ever happen. My younger members, obviously that's where they're going. We were at a recent 2-day workshop with young directors and one of them said, well, there's a couple of companies now offering $800,000 to produce short form series online. And so those numbers, when they get to a commercial level, start to compete with normal terrestrial television. That tells you that there's a market there. I agree with Stuart. It's a growing market. We want to encourage that. We also want to make sure that that Australian stories are heard on those, so that people who want to make exclusively Australian stories, which don't maybe have that international appeal, like the Mighty Car Mods, can be made.
What a challenge for the public broadcaster, by the way.
Well, put a lot of pressure back on the public broadcaster. And, of course, we've seen that recently in many ways.
Oh, yes. Look, gentlemen, this will go on. It should be a very, very interesting set of inquiries. So, look, thank you very much indeed, Kingston Anderson. He's director of the CEO of the Directors Guild. And Stuart Cunningham, thank you to you.
Thank you very much, Geraldine, and to Kingston.